Boris Sharkov will now present the fair. Amendments were done, regulation. So now we have scientific report. Okay. Please take the floor and tell us what needs to be done.
Good evening. Some time ago it was the initiative from different sides, from GNR director, from advisory committees, from council, about some kind of update of regulation for program advisory committees. And it was about 1 year discussions and proposals and amendments and so on. What we tried to do within this new update, clarify the description of functions of PSCs, specify a little bit areas to be examined by PSCs, enables PSCs to establish their procedures, which way they would like to follow, even in case if those procedures are a little bit different from one PSC to another one. Allow the modern way to examine projects in terms of electronic communication, if necessary, suitable. Encourage PSCs to follow up projects, especially big projects, large projects, with appointing some members of PSCs to continuously follow up in contact with project leader or principal investigator. And there have been a number of minor corrections as well. So now I would propose you to go through the document, which is not long, which is just, 3 pages. And I will just point out sentences which are of importance, because not of all of them are new. So, general provisions. Well, PSCs are advisory bodies. It is just from the previous text. And they evaluate proposals. Basically, they evaluate proposal for basic facilities, proposal for experiments, and consider new facilities. But the addition is that also theoretical research at GNR and their relevance to need of experiments carried out at GNR should be evaluated. What looks reasonable. Also, accelerator technologies and experimental techniques, more or less independently of concrete projects, should be evaluated. And also, PSC have to be involved in the process of development of medium range and long range strategies. Medium range is what we call medium range is just 7-year plan, and all PSCs have been really involved in the process. We hope also that PSCs will be involved in the process of production of more long-range plan for 20 or so years. That's one change. Second change, the introduction of some specific criteria, which are not very original, but there were previously no definite criteria for evaluation of projects. They are now, or proposed now, to evaluate scientific merits and intellectual contribution by the team, technical feasibility of the project within the proposed timescale, compliance of the requested financial resources with project objectives, and availability of adequate human resources at GNR. And collaborating institutions. So there are four, tasks to be performed when PSC or members of PSC are evaluating project. Next phrase says just about procedures which could be elaborated by each PSC in consultation with the directorate. Well, next part is without changes. It says that there are chairperson of the PSC, scientific secretary, three PSCs, and Further establishment of cancellation of PSCs is to be discussed between Directorate and Scientific Council. Composition and structure, again, almost no changes, but it was previously 8 to 10 people in each PSC, outside people, clearly, they are all outside people in with respect to GINR. Now we propose to improve a little bit, 8 to 12 experts to take part in each PSC. Other points are not changed, so probably I will not read it. Procedure. As usually, we keep the schedule of twice per year meetings of PSCs, and all that is as previously described in regulations, but the time of proposals to be presented to PSCs is increased. It was 1 month. Now we ask ourselves to present proposals not later than 6 weeks before PRC, what could probably facilitate the work. Point 3.8 speaks about possibility of evaluation projects by means of electronic communication, as I said already. And it says also that some specific dedicated panels could be set up in frame of PSC work. 3.10 is important one. In order to control the implementation of large projects, the PSC may appoint one or two of its members to perform continuous monitoring of a specific project jointly with the principal investigator, this newly introduced point. And finally, I think this is the last one. Yeah, yes. Some regulation for evaluation of projects. Basically, evaluation is produced by one or several PSC members. Outside experts can also be invited for evaluation. Difference with previous practice is that every expert should provide the written report or reference, as you want, saying something about 4 criteria I mentioned before. And again, it should be written, and it should be discussed at a general PSC meeting. Optionally, PSC or separate expert could provide their evaluation based on some numerical scale from 0 to 10 points, but it's not obligatory. It could be decided by every PSC how to arrange the comparable ranking between projects. That's all I should say about changes. I think, we, directorate, also chairs of PSC, if they allow me, because it was made in consultation. We are asking the Council to approve and to use in our future work these newly updated regulations. Thank you.
Thank you. And now, what does the Council say? That is, do we have any comments on that? I understand this text was discussed within the PAC
yes.
committee, so it should be pretty straightforward. Do we have any comments on the text presented?
Catalin.
Yeah?
Catalin.
Ah, okay. Go ahead, please.
I don't know. It is not customary for the Joint Institute, but almost any other PAC deals also with the attribution of the time to different installations. Maybe this is not the concept which is accepted in GNR, and it's more a prerogative of the directors of the laboratory. Nevertheless, maybe the PAC will can maybe consider this for the future if this is a good opportunity to give more support to some perspective research teams and so on.
Thank you for the question. Clearly, we know about this practice, and well, to some extent, this institute is a little bit different from many institutions. And in case when we could provide the services in regular way, like, for example, at the IBIR 2 reactor, there is some dedicated committee established for considering proposals and allocation times and so on. Also, for example, at the Nucleton facility, there is also the dedicated committee to speak about all that and to decide about distribution of times. For example, up to now, with accelerators of Fleurova laboratory, it was not the case because almost all the time has been spent for super heavy search and similar things. So, but in future, as it was already mentioned in the talk by Professor Ritkis, we would like to arrange also user policy. And in this case, it should be again, but still, I believe, the dedicated committee for this area, for these facilities to consider. I'm not sure that we have to urge our usual PSCs to also to divide time and somehow go to this micromanagement. I'm not sure, but it's discussable.
Well, as you mentioned in one of the paragraphs that you added, the parks decide themselves how to operate, so perhaps they one day can consider also this problem and make suggestions to the direction.
By now it was no proposal in this way, but why not? It could be done in principle.
Other comments? Please.
If I may have the suggestion, from the points which you just mentioned, it seems that the PACs will have a little bit more work than previously in order to assess also carefully the resources which are allocated. So my proposal would be to clearly distinguish between the topics which are related to some specific PACs, for example, nuclear physics or particle physics, and also some topics which are really transversal to all of them. We have, for example, we had the discussion on the young scientists. I think it's a typical topic which is transversal. It's important for everybody, for all the whole community. Sure. And I think in this case, probably this issue can be discussed at the scientific council. So not at each individual pack. I'm trying to make our load a little bit smaller.
If I understand you correctly, you would like to withdraw some number of, say, usual things like young people or, for example, IT technologies, something like that, from PSCs, and to go directly to, I don't know.
If they are really transversal, of course, some issues are specific,
Okay, let's take note of your comment, but I think it is still a discussable point, it's not obvious.
Michel, who's next? Okay.
Yes, about
Michel and then you. Okay.
About the transversal projects, I will repeat what I said many times. I still think that having a pack for particle physics, having a pack for nuclear physics, a pack for condensed matter physics, this match very well the core of the activity of certain laboratories. But there are activities which are transverse. We saw that with neutrinos. Neutrinos belong both to particle physics and nuclear physics. Astroparticle physics also belongs to both. So I would still argue for a pack for neutrino physics and particle astrophysics, and maybe astrobiology, which is transverse to many packs and to many departments in the lab. This will encourage transverse activity and have an appreciation, an evaluation of these transverse activities, which is more independent from the structure of the lab.
Can I comment somehow? So, actually, it's very easy to say that we need more PSCs. In my memory, I can remember at least four proposals made in such a way. Some time ago, it was a proposal to create PSC for theoretical physics. Another one was for accelerator technologies. Third one was for information technologies. Then recent proposal for astrobiology. We can in principle go as far as we want. But you know, first of all, if you consider the area of, responsibility, for example, for PSCs, for particle physics, it takes over one biggest laboratory in GNR, which is particle physics laboratory, of about 800 people, and also good part, at least, of GLEFO laboratory. So it makes more than 1,000 people doing more or less similar things. Why I'm saying that? If you consider, for example, the radiobiology, you are speaking about 100. And it is dramatically different amount of work. If we are speaking about, again, particle physics, we are taking in mind that there are about 20 themes and projects. While we're speaking about radiobiology, we have two. I'm afraid that if we establish PSCs for so dedicated topics, we will have problems even with filling the agenda for half day. From the other hand, it is probably not of utmost importance, but it is also important that every PSC, I should say, every session of every PSC cost us $30,000. Two PSC per year make 60,000. And sometime one can think if it is useful, or probably it could be more wise to spend this amount of money just to buy some modern microscope. Because not for every topic we have enough work.
This is why I was mentioning a transverse pack including neutrino physics, astroparticle physics, astrobiology, and maybe other things, so which is transverse, a kind of pack which is transverse to the departments. Not many packs, one transverse pack.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to say few words. First of all, if you want to invite additional expert, it's every time possible. For example, on neutrino physics, and to increase maybe more useful the member instead of 8 or 10 people in each pack, maybe 12 or 14, if the pack have a very wide field of investigation. It's much more convenient, I believe.
Dear colleagues, let me to comment on those discussions. First of all, as I understand, Nikolai Artemyevich now spoke on amendments to the regulations of GNR program advisory committees, not telling, specifying concrete to what concrete program committee. So because of that, I think we maybe have to listen attentively to all such advices and maybe discussing amendments to the regulations, not to decide and take the final decision about what specific advisory committee we have to have. Only three, and that's not. Maybe we still have to analyze all those suggestions and think about the or mandate of possible content of topics for consideration of those three, maybe more advisory committees. So not to close that questions at the moment, I mean, we still discuss, because it is already we hear not for the first time such discussions. Maybe it's really contains very important for us thoughts for which we have to think it over. So maybe not just approving or considering amendments, not to decide finally today what kind of committee we have to have, and still preserve possibility to maybe make some new formulation of that. For example, neutrino physics, astrophysics, of course, it has to be included in mandate at least one or two program committees which we have. So maybe it doesn't matter how it is called, but we have to know what kind of topics we have included in that. So we have to think it over, how to formulate this problem.
Michel first, and then
it's not okay. Okay.
You start, Michel. You start, and then we've got two.
Okay. It's not on this point. And it's another point. I have still some. You added at the end of the text this possibility of a quantitative evaluation of projects through the criteria. I understand the rationale, but I tend to resist to this quantitative evaluation. You know that we are now there is a bureaucratic tentative to evaluate everything quantitatively, evaluation of people, evaluation of papers. So I tend to resist to the figures attached to an evaluation. But it's my personal view.
If I can react a little bit. Michel, personally, I'm also against this. But it came from PSC somehow. And we just mentioned that it could be used. That's all.
How urgent is the adoption of this new regulation? Because if it's not urgent, I propose to print it, to have it in a printed form, and to look and to think. Of course, it is very important to have it, but it's much easier if we will have a printed text and to do our remarks on the printed one. And maybe tomorrow we could again speak about that.
No question. I should also say probably that we have been many times criticized, this secretariat to provide too much of papers. These regulations some time ago already included into materials of the council, which you can easily see in the site of the council. But clearly these three pages could be easily printed. Even today it could be distributed if you want. The idea was that everybody can have a look on materials which are many of them in the council page, and if necessary it can be printed out, no question. But if it is the wish to get it printed today, I will just go in 5 minutes to the secretariat and say print it please and distribute, no question.
Who's next?
There.
Please.
I think that what Professor Rittke said is really a good proposal. I will continue on the same line. Maybe I missed that, but I think it should be an intercommunication between the different PACs. And if one PAC, for example, decline its competence to judge one subject before, say, trying to make a call for other members or other experts to give their opinion, they may pass the proposal to another PAC, and maybe in another PAC, I mean, especially these teams which are connected with the neutrino physics, mm-hmm. Which are at the border between nuclear physics PAC and particle physics PACs. So if both commissions decline their competence, then indeed we may go to some external experts for very special issues. But otherwise, I think that in their actual compositions, that the PACs have large competencies and maybe only a few things escape their competence. Anyway, in the regulations as they are now, there is not a paragraph stipulating the intercommunication between the different PACs. Maybe that will be useful.
It is, in fact, there. Because, well, I can probably try to show you, but you can also... Okay. There is the paragraph saying that if necessary, PSCs can have common sessions to consider specific questions. And, in fact, it was already done, specifically for neutrino physics. And we are always encouraging them to, if they consider as useful, to provide a possibility. Last time we did it such a way that one PSC started, say, Monday. Tuesday was the common session. Then second one continued next day. So it is allowed and it is written down, in fact. So no problem with that.
Okay, first you and then, yeah.
Okay, let me say something about it. I believe that if the science of neutrino, astroparticle, and astrobiology is something which will grow and become important, I think Michel is right. Now, if it is a minor part of the scientific program, then, of course, having experts will be fine. So it's a matter of importance for the management and for the scientific council to consider, is it something which is in the future that would be needed anyway, or we can continue with expert. This is, I think, a reasonable analysis of the situation. Not an answer, but an analysis.
Okay. Peter.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, in point 1.3, the responsibility is actually with the GINE directorate where to submit it, and they can submit it wisely, maybe with also having a common session or so. In 1.3, it's very explicit that
yes.
It's the GINE directorate which submits and chooses the PAC, if you look at 1.3. So to me, this pragmatic approach seems to be correct.
I think. Yes.
Now, about the number and the arguments of the PACs, clearly, as it has been said, it's up to the directorate. And I think that the present choice reflects the history of JNR, of course. If I may say something about the Italian case and the INFN, we have similar committees, and one is for high-energy particle physics, one is for nuclear physics, and we have one which is essentially physics without accelerators, which means that this would include not only neutrino physics, but also other aspects of cosmic rays, physics, gamma rays. So if this, because then in that case, probably you would have enough projects to group together.
Thank you.
Maybe develop a comment which I already did. Everybody has such a yellow on preface, there are such words, let's say 1, 2, 3, 4 abstracts. The research program of GNR includes level list. Elementary particle physics, relativistic heavy ion physics, advanced physics of super heavy elements and exotic Newton-rich nuclei, precision nuclear spectroscopy, neutrino physics and astrophysics, information technologies and computing, fundamental neutron studies, etc., etc., etc. Of course, we cannot have a program committee for each such which. We have to have 3 or 4, I don't know, but let's say we could think about our advisory committee, but formulate mandate, let's say, which questions could be included in which program committee, and of course to use very widely maybe sometimes common consideration, but few committees or experts invites, but of course all that list of our directional activity cannot be have its own, let's say, its own program committee, because it would be very worse, not just unreasonable, but very, because it would divide by very narrow specialities. So,
Okay, I'll make a comment then. It seems that there are two issues here. One is that the committees don't overlap in their interests, and the other is that they can decide on what is their area and possibly invite, if they don't have competence, invite an expert for that particular area occasionally, right? So, and then it has to be flexible. It has to be competent people on the PACs. So, this is, I think, enough for the PACs to work efficiently, having this flexibility.
Yeah, and if I can comment, I just forgot to answer to the question of Professor Stratton. He said, if it is urgent, the decision on that, it is in fact not urgent. But from the other hand, my feeling is that the text is not addressing the question of number of PSCs, which we are discussing so much. It's just it is addressing the procedure. As many PSCs we will have should follow some procedure. So it is not urgent, but I still propose that it could be approved, because it's not addressing exactly the question under discussion now.
Yeah, agree. Any other questions or comments? Michel again, and anybody else then? Okay, Michel.
I said that I have some resistance on the quantitative evaluation, but I have also some resistance on the 3.7. The PAC recommendations are adopted at the PAC closed session by simple majority of votes of all PAC members. I tend to resist to that because there should be a kind of a consensus on the recommendation, and if there is no consensus, it should be explained that there was no consensus. Some people were thinking this, other people were thinking that. But to just summarize the recommendation to a majority of vote, I think is, again, like a note, it's too simple.
Well,
when it is complicated, you describe the complexity.
Well, it is an essential remark. We should decide something about that. I don't know, now or later, but this remark is essential, yeah.
And, by the way, if there is no majority of vote, if there is equality, what will you do? So instead of entering a legal procedure, which we are forced to do for electing a director, I think for a recommendation, we should avoid this type of subtleties.
Yeah, to the question of Michel, I would comment that in general, there is no vote in the PAC. Practically, there is no vote. We discuss, and if there is opposition, we continue discussing, and we continue discussing, and at the end, we reach consensus. That's the practical way things
work.
Yeah,
there is no consensus. You can explain that.
Yes.
This is also an information. You can have a conflicting opinion, which would be also interesting in the report, without any vote.
May I express the support really to adopt the recommendation, the new rules. I think this will make our work a little bit more simple, and we'll know what to do for the next PAC meetings. So, of course, they can be always amended in the future, I guess.
Sure.
But we need this is really a major change in the way in which the PAC will proceed. So we should know quite soon if we are going towards this new avenue, which is interesting, although not very easy, or we continue like before. So then this is my request to decide something.
Thank you.
So what you're suggesting is that we move and accept as the council the proposition as put on the table, or do we want to do it tomorrow? First, do we want to do it now? Are we ready to accept this, or do we have a discussion?
I tend to resist on this adoption of recommendation on the basis of a vote. Science is not a democratic. It's not a democratic issue. You can have conflicting opinions, which can be also expressed in recommendation. So this is my main point.
What you're suggesting is that you leave out the way of voting as in that, what's the feeling of the committee on that, on the council on that? Do you want to delete the voting? Please.
I think it would be maybe helpful to have a formulation which says that the PAC should, of course, aim at unanimity. But then at some point it will have to decide at some point. And I think also at CERN, the committees at some point, they take the opinion. Of course, they discuss and aim
recommendation. At... Recommendation, you can reflect the contradictory opinions. You have not to vote. This is, after all, the decision is in the hand of the directorate.
So, again, I would ask the question, are we ready to accept, amend that part and accept, or do we leave it at that and decide tomorrow with a modified text?
Yeah. Okay.
Would we then accept? Okay, please. Okay, so let's move to the following. You'll help to change the text by consensus, and then we'll and then we'll vote tomorrow. We'll formally accept it by a vote. Would that be okay?
Also by consensus.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, then we'll okay. Kola, you work with those who are willing to help you and come up with a text tomorrow,
okay, but
which we'll accept.
Just to check the understanding is correct from my side. We have the actual text which was presented, and we will have by tomorrow, for example, the modified sentence mostly produced by Michel. And then
I propose that any changes made should be made overnight so that we can get on with it. I don't think it's worth our time wasting too much on it, because we all agree, basically, I think there's no issue, there's no basic issue, these are details, right? So, is it acceptable to you that you work overnight to help Kola sort out the text?
No problem with work.
And
but
then we would then read the text tomorrow morning and then accept it or not.
But
by consensus.
Should we come tomorrow with three versions? Current one, from Peter, from Michel?
No, I think you should coordinate.
Work all night.
No.
We have to produce the copy.
No.
Okay.
I suggest that any comments are made to you, and then you present the final text. Otherwise, we'll never get it done. Is that okay?
We'll try.
Yeah? So, but I would say, whoever doesn't bring any corrections to you by tomorrow morning will not be allowed to discuss them. Okay? Otherwise, we'll be wasting a lot of time. So, please address all the comments to Kola, and then Kola comes up tomorrow morning with a text for approval, and hopefully we'll approve it.
Okay.
If we don't approve it, we'll move to the next council.
Good.
Yeah, thank you. So that issue is settled, and we are now ready almost. Okay, please.
Can you put it to the Indico server, please?
Would you
can you put the text to the Indico server so that we have it electronically?
The text, Kola, would you be able to get the text out of the server
on the Indico
tomorrow?
It is on the Indico. It is there.
Yeah, okay. So the text will be available tomorrow morning. But I do hope that we can sort it out, because it doesn't seem to be worth our time, but we would like to get it done properly. And now, let's have Boris tell us the good story about FAIR and prospects of a joint institute cooperation. Boris, it's yours now.
Dear colleagues, thank you for inviting to give this talk. As you may know, I spent 7 years in Darmstadt serving as a scientific managing director, and I changed to GNR at the end of 16. Therefore, I will give the status of the project at the end of the year 16, with a focus on the prospect of the fair GNR collaboration. First of all, Facility for Antiproton and Iron Research, FAIR. It's a new international research laboratory to explore the nature and evolution of matter in the universe. It is under construction in Darmstadt. It is international endeavor, and it is the landmark facility on S3 roadmap. As you can see here, the present GSI, well-known national center of Germany, and it will be used as the injection chain for the future FAIR facility, which is 6 times larger than the present GSI facility. It is a very complicated complex of the synchrotron rings, collector rings, accumulator rings, which will provide the beams of protons, heavy ions, and antiprotons for a variety of research programs. FAIR is an international endeavor, and FAIR has a convention, contractual foundation of FAIR. International partners provide an investment contribution about 30%, 70% comes from Germany. Contribution to the construction costs may provide in kind and in cash. Shares are cost book based, fixed in 2005 values. And FAIR company and GSI collaborate closely in construction, commissioning, cooperation on the basis of long-term agreements. Moreover, FAIR and GSI at the moment are in the process of the merger of two companies in one. Partner countries are listed here, those as Germany, Russia, India, Poland, Romania, France, Slovenia, Sweden, Finland, and United Kingdom as an associated partner. Well, once again, it's a worldwide unique accelerator facility with primary beams with unprecedented intensity from protons up to uranium with a wide range of energies up to 35 GeV per unit. With fantastic intensity, 3 × 10⁻³⁰ protons, and the secondary beams in the range of radioactive beams up to 2 GeV per unit, which increases the factor of available species up to 10,000, higher as intensity as presently as GSI and all other laboratories worldwide, and the intense cooled antiprotons beams up to 30 GeV. Well, FAIR will have storage and cooler rings of radioactive beams and antiprotons, and technical challenges are very challenging. There's cooled beams, rapid cycling, superconducting magnets, and altogether, this accelerator parameters offer a wide range of research topics. First of all, the traditional one for GSI, the nuclear structure and astrophysics with rare isotope beams. The new topics for Darmstadt for this side, the hadron physics with stored and cooled antiproton beams. The QCD phase diagram with the beams up to 45 GeV. Fundamental symmetries with high electromagnetic fields. Dense bulk plasma, material science, radiation biology, and of course, accelerator physics. As you can see, the spectrum of and the range of the research activities is extremely wide. At the moment, community is under construction, busy with construction of the so-called modularized start version, MSV, where only first four models are under construction. That means the first superconducting synchrotron SIS-100 will be constructed, and several accumulator and cooling beams will be available. It works like it is depicted here. The beam from present GSI accelerator facility SIS-18 comes to the red beam SIS-100, is accelerated and the primary beams goes into the CBM, compressed baryonic matter cave. This is a primary beam experiment. Then after the target which generates the secondary beams for nuclear physics and astrophysics goes through the superfragment separator to the several branches of the nuclear structure experiment. Then the ions and antiprotons go to the collector ring and go to the for the experiments New Star, and also primary beams are used in so-called atomic plasma physics and applications beam as well. The whole research structure, the research program is structurized in four scientific pillars of FAIR. Those are atomic plasma physics applications, CBM, compressed baryonic matter, nuclear structure, astrophysics and reactions, and antiproton annihilation at Darmstadt, PANDA. Well, what is essential? This even modularized START version provides for outstanding and world-leading research programs in all four scientific areas and in applications for biomedicine, material science, and for the use of for the users about 3,000 for all around the world. Scientific program is competitive and worldwide class. Here you see the international participation FAIR. Yellow are the countries, the partner countries, so-called, who contribute directly to the construction of the facility. And blue are colored the countries which participate in the preparation and the of the experiments. As you can see, more than 200 institutions from 53 countries are involved with their scientists in the orange plus blue countries. You see here the very, very large involvement of the whole world. Well, here you see the distribution of the community among the countries. You can see that not only the partner countries like Germany, Russia, India, Poland, Romania, and other countries contribute to the experiments, but also beyond the partner countries, those are USA, China, Ukraine, Turkey, Switzerland, and Brazil, and all others. This indicates a really very, very wide international participation. Well, a couple of words about the status of experiment. As I said to you, we have four large experiments, and the funding is very specific. Third of the whole funding comes from the budget of FAIR, contributed from the partner countries, one third, and two thirds by additional funds from shareholders and non-shareholders for all 53 countries all around the world. This is the very essential thing. One third is secured, and the two thirds come beyond the budget of the FAIR. I start with the New Star, the largest collaboration for nuclear structure astrophysics, about 800 members. Central topic at FAIR is how the RNA nuclei are made. It stands for Quest of Limits of Existence, HALOS, Open Quantum System, new few body correlations, changing shell structure, skins, new collective modes, phases and symmetries in nuclear many-body system. And as you can see, the emphasis is on the neutron-rich nuclei and the R process, which is similar to the process in the stars. And therefore, logically, the application and the relation to the nuclear astrophysics at FAIR is very much pronounced, with combination of accurate nuclear physics with precision astronomy to constrain astrophysical scenarios. Well, the workhorse for the New Star is the large acceptance superfragments separator. It is the most powerful instrument and spectrometer for so-called in-flight fragment separator, technology for nuclear physics. You know, this super FRS spectrometer is 130 meter long, a huge machine which delivers the beams to the lower energy branch, to the high energy branch, and to the ring branch for measurements of lifetime of masses of the rare isotopes. This offers super FRS offers the gain factor for the for the exotic nuclei up to 10,000 more than present fragment separator at GSI. The second one pillar is the compressed baryonic matter. Is also a huge community for 100 members. It is about the phase diagram of the nuclear matter and the exploration of the properties of dense nuclear matter in collisions of two heavy nuclei, the fixed target experiments at CBM, equation of state at high net baryonic density, search of deconfinement phase transition, QCD chiral endpoint, and chiral symmetry restoration. Altogether, it is further projects to explore the QCD phase diagram at large net baryonic densities. And if you compare with other experiments, you immediately see that CBM can explore the bulk and rare observables in contrast to other experiments. Driving CBM experiment requirements is the precision and rate. Here I come to a very essential point, the cooperation between FAIR and NECA in extreme state of nuclear matter. It's no no reason to repeat describe the NECA and MPD detector, and you can easily see in these tables that the energy range and the and the energy in center of mass is very much similar, and we see that the range of the phase diagram of the QCD is very similar for NECA and for SIS-100 CBM experiments. And that means that complementary research program FAIR and NECA was developed, and this was presented already several times in our meetings of Scientific Council of GNR. I only would like to stress that this phase diagram, you immediately see the NECA range of parameters with the high baryon density and SIS and future SIS-300 experiments. And if you compare the experiments at BNL, at CERN, at NECA and BMTN Nucleotron with CBM at FAIR, you immediately see the reaction rates are in CBM higher than in other experiments, and consequently the observables, the range and the list of observables is longer, because with this intensity and sensitivity of the detector, you can measure open charm and charmonium and electron dilaton pairs as well. Once again, complementary research program at FAIR at NECA. What is also very important, that the CBM and MPD and also BMTN collaborate very strongly on development on the detector technologies as well. And it is the fact of the today's life that the Darmstadt, Dubna, Krakow, Kyiv, Kharkov, Moscow, St. Petersburg, and Tübingen have a very strong cooperation on development and production of STS for CBM, MPD, and BMTN at the moment, and this project is progressing very well. Accelerator technologies, quadrupole cryo-ring, cryo models for SIS-100 are developed and designed here and are now under production within the GNR FAIR contract. and it is progressing very rapidly, very well. And 2 weeks ago, I visited the lab, the construction site, and I see the progress, progressing development for 2 first pilot quadrupole units for FAIR, developing in parallel with the booster and Nika booster, booster and Nika ring itself. Well, this workshop is progressing. Started the production of magnets December 14, and I see this very well progressing activities, and it is the reality of the beneficial development both for FAIR and for GNR and for Nika. Germany invested directly beyond the budget of FAIR a certain amount of money for test facility at GNR.
Well,
GSI, Germany wide GSI. Well, that's it. One more important statement for cooperation between Nika and FAIR. You see that the timeline for development of both big projects are very essential. And there is a time gap where the BMATN and MPD activities will start much earlier, several years earlier than the activities at CBM at FAIR. That means there is a time gap where the activities here on the site on the compressed baryonic matter will be unique, and the whole community will come here and will do outstanding forefront research, start here on the site of GNR at Nika. It is very important for time gap, timing, and the this is essential thing. I would draw your attention that we have to support our committee has to support very tough timeline of realization of the Nika project. Well, hadron physics. You know that hadron physics is between particle physics and nuclear physics. It's exciting branch of modern physics, and here we will have at FAIR antiprotons. Why is this so much attractive? First of all, you know that the antiprotons is difficult to make. Only one antiproton is generated by 200,000 of protons, but you will have a gluon-rich processes. You gain immediately the annihilation to GeV and reduced momentum transfer and very high resolution information reactions. Antiproton chain is represented here. You FAIR will have a PLINAC. By the way, we'll start with the present UNILAC and SS under SS18. But then later on will come the proton LINAC, dedicated high-intensity proton LINAC, and here the cooperation between experts from Darmstadt and Dubna is also very close. Then it's accelerated protons from SIS-18 to SIS-100 and come to the P-bar target, very, very hot. The spot in the whole accelerator facility where antiprotons with a huge emittance are generated, then they have to be cooled in the collector ring, and then they come to the HSR, high energy storage ring, the cooled ions, antiprotons, and then they are directed to the so-called panda detector. This altogether is a challenging hadron physics experiment at FAIR. Now, atomic plasma physics and applications. It is the collaborations with 700 members. Very, very similar topics to what exists here on the side at GNR. This is also the topic of the cooperation between FAIR and GNR. And plasma physics, material research, and biophysics, it is also complementary in my view. APA comprises the strong field research, antimatter, planetary interiors, extreme condition, aerospace engineering, all together for extreme state of static fields, dynamic fields, ultrashort pulses, large energy deposition, antimatter research, and it will be combined with the powerful laser beams, unique combination of powerful laser and heavy ion beams for generation of extreme state of matter. Well, APA and biophysics, the well-known famous GSI activities on the heavy ion therapy with cancer therapy with carbon, and space radiation, the mission preparation, biological effects, passive shielding, and GSI fair will become a ground laboratory for the European Space Agency in future, we hope. Summarizing the research program, a very nice picture in the evolution of the universe after the Big Bang. The history comprises 13.7 billion years, and as you can see, it is I'm very frequently asked what is the difference between LHC program and FAIR and NICA program, and the beginning of the whole universe is a topic for LHC, and what happens after a couple of microseconds after a Big Bang is the topic, the issue for World Machine FAIR and NICA. Well, now to the technologies, accelerator status. From the beginning, the accelerator was progressing well, and as I said already, the dipole magnets are under production in Germany. The quadrupoles are under production here in Dubna. Yefremov Institute in St. Petersburg is contributing to the normal conducting magnets, and altogether is developing very rapidly. There is a huge avalanche of the contracts coming all over the world, and many dozens of contracts go to Russian Institute and to GNR as well. For instance, the CR ring is under construction now in Butker Institute, Novosibirsk. And the development is very active. One very essential thing, the phasing of the FAIR project. We introduced the phasing, very well-defined phasing. Phase zero. Please pay attention. This is FAIR experimental program using FAIR instrumentation to be carried out before FAIR facility becomes available. That means the FAIR experiments using beam from SIS-18, that means GSI accelerator, and cryo-ring, this is contribution from Sweden, and complemented by external experiments with FAIR equipment outside, all around the world. And first of all, in the partner countries, and here I already stressed it, the experiments at NICA will play a very, very significant role in a phase zero for FAIR. Phase one is the experimental program after the commissioning of SS-100 and secondary beams for early exploration of startups before the full MSV operation. And phase two is an experimental program at the full potential of the MSV. Here I don't haven't written the time scale, but the full potential of SV is envisaged for year 2025. Well, collaborations are a little bit smaller than at CERN, but nonetheless, all the collaborations are many hundreds of participants all around the world. As I told you, at the moment, two-thirds of the funding is almost secured, and expression of interest cover about 30% that we consider is not yet secured, and 6% are still available. Well, the collaborations are busy with preparation of TDRs, which cover about 80% of the cost of the start version, what is good progress. And we have behind us the decisive year 2016, where we got the FAIR got the green light to implement Valorized Start version by the FAIR Council. That means the research program, the full research program of Modernized Start version was confirmed by the very strong and very focused participation of the international community and partner countries. And the civil construction restarted at the FAIR site. And this restructuring of the phases is very fruitful to structurize the whole activities. And the scientists are negotiating with the funding agencies and clear definition of the funding frames by the big funding agencies. It's a very essential thing. I think for every project, the clear definition of funding frames, very, very strict and definition of that. Then we FAIR attracts the funding from the third parties, like non-partner, the China and Hungary, for instance, Czech Republic, and more clear and more realistic view to actual status, past to operational, to experiments. We have, and at this point I left FAIR, and I'm happy that my successor, Paolo Giubilino, who you know from the September meeting, he takes over the project in my view, in a good shape. My conclusion, technical design and construction of FAIR is of experiments and of accelerator is progressing well. FAIR will allow for unique measurements in many fields and remain competitive for decades. It was confirmed by the Scientific Council of FAIR in their sessions, which is essential. And we will have rich scientific program and discovery potential with MSV from SIS-100 beam. Day one physics with start version is in preparation very actively. Intermediate phase zero research program is well defined. And it keeps the scientific communities alive, which is very important for young scientists to do their PhDs and so on, to really to keep the scientific community active, not only alive, but active. And cooperation with FAIR and NICA and GNR in general is of paramount importance for both projects. It's a fact. And it is not only the complementary research program, but it's beneficial in many branches, accelerator technologies, detector development, science, education, IT. And this was the topic of the dedicated meeting in November between FAIR and GNR, and MOU between FAIR and GNR was elaborated, where all topics of the mutual benefit and mutual collaboration was defined. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Boris. Questions, comments? Okay, can't see, but we're... Okay, Michelle, please.
Sorry to take the floor again. Yes, thank you very much for this presentation. This tends to confirm what I said this morning, that there is really a need for a GINR for a timely, successful completion of the NICA project with a broad international participation to nicely complement the FAIR project. So I will try to introduce this statement as a Scientific Council recommendation, if you all agree.
Thank you for that comment, please.
Thank you. Could you please show again the list of countries? You had a map with a list of countries which are participating.
This is the flags of the partner countries, but the list of the just no. I mean this one. or that? Yes, please.
I see correct that Saudi Arabia is participating?
Pardon?
Is it correct then that Saudi Arabia is participating?
Saudi Arabia, no.
I see on the map.
Maybe in certain experiments, I don't know, but it's in blue.
We are involved via CACS and other universities in New Star.
In New Star. This is in experiments, but it's not a partner country.
And in Egypt, it's in CBM, Tafik.
Yeah, there are scientists who are involved. Horst knows that.
Okay, and my second question, my elaboration, I didn't understand. You said that antiprotons are rich with gluons. That they are richer than protons.
They generate a state of matter which is gluon rich, not themselves.
You mean the annihilation?
The annihilation.
Not that the antiprotons are richer.
Not themselves.
Any further comments?
Okay, please.
Since I just made a 2 months after Boris left, I just made a tour through the facility with a group of non-scientists. I can report that actually the bugger, what is a bugger?
A bugger.
The buggers are working to dismantle the earth from the CIS-18 and everything is progressing nicely, so we also hope that we will be digging the CIS-100 tunnel June, July, and the present plan is that within the next year, not in 17 but in 18, we will restart operating of the synchrotron and have this fair zero phase starting next year, not this year.
Thank you. No hands. Boris, thank you once again. And I think we are now ready to call it a day. We've had a long day. We have a meeting at Dubna at 7 p.m., which will be in half an hour. And we reconvene tomorrow at 9:30. Remember, 9:30, it's not 10, 9:30. And thank you, session closed.